We now have our two readings from Exodus 2, 1 to 8, and 1 Samuel 20 to 28.
So reading from Exodus, the birth and youth of Moses. Now a man from the house of Levi went and married a Levite woman. The woman conceived and bore a son. And when she saw that he was a fine baby, she hid him for 3 months. When she could hide him no longer, she got a papyrus basket for him and plastered it with bitumen and pitch. She put the child in it and placed it among the reeds on the bank of the river. His sister stood at a distance to see what would happen to him. The daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the river while her attendants walked beside the river. She saw the basket among the reeds and sent her maid to bring it. When she opened it, she saw the child. He was crying, and she took pity on him. "This must be one of the Hebrews' children," she said. Then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and get you a nurse from the Hebrew women to nurse the child for you?" Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Yes." So the girl went and called the child's mother. Thanks be to God.
In due time, Hannah conceived and bore a son. She named him Samuel, for she said, "I have asked him of the Lord." The man Elkanah and his household went up to offer to the Lord the yearly sacrifice and to pay his vow. But Hannah did not go up. For she said to her husband, "As soon as the child is weaned, I will bring him that he may appear in the presence of the Lord and remain there forever. I will offer him as a Nazarite for all time." Her husband Elkanah said to her, "Do what seems best to you. Wait until you have weaned him. Only may the Lord establish his word." So the woman remained and nursed her son until she had weaned him. When she had weaned him, she took him up with her, along with a 3-year-old bull, an ephah of flour, and a skin of wine. She brought him to the house of the Lord at Shiloh, and the child was young. Then they slaughtered the bull, and they brought the child to Eli. And she said, "Oh, my Lord, as you live, my Lord, I am the woman who is standing here in your presence, praying to the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord has granted me the petition that I made to him. Therefore, I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he is given to the Lord." She left him there for the Lord.
May these words of my mouth and this meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, Lord, my rock and my redeemer. In our two Bible passages, we hear of two women who both give their children over to God. They love their children so much that they let them go, trusting in God. Moses is sent down the river in a floating crib, and Hannah longs so much for a child that she promises to hand him over to God. How must Moses' mother have felt when she put her child into the river and let him go, watching him disappear, but she knew this was a better option than him being killed? Of course, Jesus' mother had to do the same thing. She knows right from Jesus' birth that he is destined for greater things and ultimately death on the cross to save humanity. All three of these mothers had to trust God and step back and let go. I'm sure there are times in your lives when you have had to step back and trust God. Whether that is letting a child grow up and leave home, or moving house, or a change in circumstances, or perhaps living a different life than you envisaged. I have a riddle for you. See if you can guess the answer. Dave's over there sitting in the congregation, have looked after 18 children, but we now only have 2 who live with us. Any guesses? Fostering? That's a very good guess. Well done. So Dave and I fostered for 10 years. We looked after 16 children over that 10-year period. We struggled to have our own children, a bit like Hannah in the Bible reading. Eventually, after many investigations, I fell pregnant and Jack was born. He is almost 23. I'm waiting for his rude card later today, because it won't be a soppy, nice one. Again, we struggled to have another child, but this time we did find out there was a medical problem. And if we did manage to get pregnant, then the pregnancy may be ectopic. But eventually, we fell pregnant again, and everything was fine. Until 29 weeks of gestation. Thomas was born at 29 weeks, that's 11 weeks early. He was resuscitated at birth, and he spent 8 weeks in the neonatal unit at Leicester Royal Infirmary. He is now 17 and reasonably healthy. He's had some health issues in the past couple of years, but he is, yes, a lovely young man, shall we say. And so is Jack. I'm forgetting Jack. Jack's a lovely young man as well. Just a different relationship. I thank God every day for the blessing us with 2 children. But as I sat next to Thomas's incubator for all those weeks, I felt I was being called to do something, to help other children. Adoption, maybe, or fostering. In November 2011, Dave and I became foster carers. And similarly to the 2 Bible stories, there is a lot of loving and nurturing and ultimately letting go. There are so many sad and disturbing stories that I could tell you about relating to the children we looked after. But I wanted to tell you April's story. A story of hope and letting go. We received a phone call from our social worker one day asking if we would take a baby that was due to be born any day. We had just moved another child on and we'd had him for about a year and he had gone to his auntie and it was a really good place for him to go. So we said yes, we would take this newborn baby. It was an exciting time preparing for a new arrival, but of course it was always tinged with sadness that a child had to be taken from their family. A few days later, the baby was born, a little girl called April. We were asked if we could collect her from the hospital and to meet her mum. This wasn't usual practice, to meet mum not long after she had given birth, and it felt very uncomfortable. April's mum had learning difficulties and seemed quite happy for us to take the baby, which was incredibly sad. But April's mum, Sophie, was caught up in a cycle of unhealthy, abusive, both physically and emotionally, relationships. She couldn't keep herself safe, let alone a newborn baby. It was awful walking out of the maternity unit with another woman's baby. And how was April's mother felt letting her baby go? We loved and cared for April for about 8 months. We got up in the night with her, we fed her, we did all those things that you do with a newborn baby, but she was a delight, an absolute delight, and had a very infectious laugh. Throughout this time, her mum was given support and help to make better choices. But unfortunately, she ended up back in a very physically abusive relationship. April ended up going to live with her auntie. At least being back with her own family, this meant she would see her mum. April's mum had to let go of her. We had to let go of her, and that was incredibly hard. Throughout our lives, in many situations, we have to let go of what we thought our lives may look like. And we have to trust that God has a hand in all of these situations. I answered my call to God to be a minister. In doing so, we made the decision to finish fostering, to let the child that we were looking after at the time, we had to move her on. And that was an incredibly hard decision, and probably one of the hardest decisions I've ever had to make. But I trusted in God and let go of how I thought my life might look like and continue the journey as a formation to be a Methodist minister, which, as some of you may know, in September I will be moving on to my first appointment, which is very exciting, as a probationer minister. Without my church family, as I said before, without the Girls Brigade, without many situations that have happened in my life, I wouldn't be stood here in front of you as a student minister. But ultimately, it's God's love over me that has got me to this point. Just as Moses' mother and Hannah and Mary had to put their trust in God and gave their children to him. We all belong to a bigger family, and that is our church family. But how does our church family nurture us, inspire us, help us to grow spiritually? Today we think of all those people who take up a caring role: nurses, foster carers, teachers, and many more. I just want you to pick your person up that you've hopefully written on, that you will write on in a moment, I hope. I just want you to look at it for a moment. What does this remind you of? Maybe it reminds you of somebody running towards you, ready to give you a hug. Maybe this reminds you of someone who cares for you. Or maybe it reminds you of Jesus holding his arms outstretched on the cross. So if you'd like to write on your person, the person that's inspired you, the person that's loved you, the person that's nurtured you, just for a couple of minutes. Does anybody here watch Call the Midwife? Yes, of course. Yes. Favourite programme. Thomas's favourite programme as well. It's a programme about midwives and the nuns who are also midwives at Nonata's House, based in London, and it started in the 1950s, and we're now up to the 1960s, 70s now, based on the books written by Jennifer Wirth. It's always wonderful watching how the community and the nuns all rally round whenever there is a celebration or a crisis, and always portray such a wonderful, loving sense of community. In last year's Call the Midwife, there was one around Mothering Sunday, and Thomas and I were watching it, and there was a competition to see who would be crowned Mother of the Year. The children had to write a short presentation about why their mum was so special and should win. There had been a story around adoption in the programme, so I thought that would be the mum that would win. But it wasn't. It was the Mother Superior of Nonata's House, Sister Juliet. Although not a mother herself, had brought countless babies into the world as a midwife. I was moved and reflected on how beautiful this was and what the sister actually represented. Was love, kindness, affection, support, and of course, providing people with food and shelter. God sent us the most wonderful example of this in human form in Jesus Christ. I wonder, do our churches embrace the community, working as one to help those in need? Do we make our churches welcoming and loving spaces to all those that come into it? How much is it concerned with keeping things in place at the expense of growth? Today is about love. We see in the stories of Mother of Moses and in Hannah, and in Mary, the mother of Jesus. They gave up the person they loved and trusted in God, and they were right to do so. They trusted unconditionally. Moses ended up being found by the Pharaoh's daughter and then ultimately ended up back in the arms of his birth mother. Samuel went to live on to live with blind Eli and heard the call of God on his life. And Jesus, as we approach Easter, we know how that story ends. In the death and rising again of Jesus, we have hope and everlasting love. And to close, I'll just leave you with these words that were said at the end of the call of the midwife. In our time on earth, everyone is on a quest for love, to teach us, to feed us, and to keep us safe. Love is always in every smile we exchange, every lesson we share, in every hand we hold, every gift we receive, in every breath we take. It is the greatest prize of all.